What's up, everybody? My name is John Campioni. I am a Rock Tape instructor. Today I have with me Danny Porcelli. Danny attended Parker College of Chiropractic in Dallas, Texas, where he obtained his doctorate of chiropractic medicine, as well as a BS in health and wellness. Prior to attending Parker, he received a BS in psychology from the University of Central Florida. Danny was selected for treating physician at the 2010 Central American Games in Bogota, Colombia, and treated the speed skaters and the Paralympic triathletes. He's also been selected for 2013-2014 CrossFit Games, CrossFit Southeast Regionals. He's also coordinated the athletic services for CrossFit events like Wadapalooza, Thunderdome, and box battles. He is the primary care physician and owner of XOC Chiropractic in Naples, Florida, and he is a Rock Tape instructor. Danny, what's up?
What's up, Johnny boy?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
I feel like we have to kind of pull back the curtain and just let everybody know what it took to get to this point right now.
100 cancellations and rescheduling is what we did.
It wasn't even like scheduled and, oh, I can't make it, dude. I'm sorry. It was like, hey, can you do this? And it's like, I forgot to answer your message or something like that. It was like, oh, I can't do that. So we tried to schedule. And then last Thursday, both of us not feeling well, our voices sucked. And then you had like maintenance going on in the office or something like that, right?
Yeah. I was trying to get the internet, TV, phone all connected up. So we did about 30 seconds of the interview, and he cut the Wi-Fi out on us.
It was totally like a movie. It was just boom, gone completely. Danny's.
This is nice, though. This is a holiday. It's President's Day. I think we're both maybe off today. I'm off. I don't know. You look pretty relaxed.
I'm off, yeah. No class to teach, nothing like that.
Yeah.
So it's great. So I'm glad we finally got to this point, though, Danny. So you've been around Rock Tape for quite some time, actually, if I recall. When did you first start with Rock Tape?
That's a nice way to say that you're the old guy in the group.
Come on. We're talking about Rock Tape years, not.
I know. No, I love it. I have actually. I believe 2013. So I'm into my sixth year with Rock Tape.
So you know, I always go back to this, and we talked about this with Allison. But that picture of the five at Allison's dinner table, I think, right? Yeah. Were you in that picture?
Not there, no. That was,
so you're after, I was probably after that, right after that.
Pretty shortly after, I believe. That was definitely before my time.
Excellent.
But yeah, so I was...
When did you come on with Rock Tape? How did it all start?
Yeah, so I was at a seminar for some chiropractic techniques, chiropractic biophysics. Allison was there, Allison Evans, you know, who brings in so many of us. And, you know, I mean, she's just a special lady in so many ways. So I always got to say a big thank you to Allison. Man, she's a life changer. So we met each other in a workshop where, honestly, I wasn't feeling the vibe. I'm not going to speak for her, but she was there repping Rock Tape, repping Mojo Feet at the time, or her orthotic company. A bunch of stuff. And we just hit it off. I don't know. I think it was like, hey, you like feet? I like feet too. And from there, it was like, oh, you're from Canada? Oh, my wife's from Canada. And that was it. I mean, I'd like to say we were kind of friends instantly. So she just got me, you know, kind of matriculated by Go Shadow. And I hung out with Perry at a chiropractic conference and shadowed him. And it just was like, I was just sitting there. And he looks at me, goes, you want to add anything? And this is like Dr. Perry Nicholson, right? So I'm like, no, I definitely don't want to say anything. Like, you're the man. You know, I'm going to sit here and just watch you. But that was kind of my first experience. And, you know, I guess the rest is history at that point. So
had you been aware of or even used Rock Tape before that?
Oh, yeah. So I had kind of experimented with Rock Tape during those Central American Games. On athletes and just had pretty good experiences, but dabbled, very much dabbled. And Allison taped me at that seminar, and our education was so rock solid at the time. It was like, yeah, just bend over. I'm just going to slap this on your back and we're gonna see how you feel. You know? And, I got up and, I felt amazing. And I mean, just a little history about me is that I do have a fractured L5 vertebrae. I hit the bottom of a water slide in 2006 and fractured my spinous process and my left pars. And yeah, it sounds worse. I, I think it sounds worse than it is. But it gets tight, achy, kind of facet syndrome, maybe mild sciatic type feeling, tightness. And she taped me up and I just couldn't believe how much better I felt, like the immediate reduction in pain, and stiffness. And then walking up and down the aisles, I felt like I had get my pimp walk back, right? I had my gangster walk back. Because I could feel my hips shifting and rotating. And I was like, wow, this is right. This feels right. It's how I'm supposed to, how I remembered how I should move. And I was sold. I bought in right there, just because of my personal experience. And now pretty much everybody in my office gets taped so long as you're not allergic to it for some reason. Yeah.
Isn't that such a really cool thing though? Is like a lot of us and I think a lot of practitioners out there, they come across these products and there's always an argument about efficacy and what kind of research and all that stuff. And there's plenty of it for this, but most people I talk to is like, yeah, I tried it on myself because I was having an issue and it totally worked. So I looked more into it and I tried, like, isn't that the best way to really just figure something out is just have it done on you?
I mean, yeah, anytime it's a, firsthand experience and you can speak, about it, I think that is huge. So for me, it's a huge selling point. It's a story I tell a lot of people. And then obviously now we have all that information and research and experience to back that up. Whenever you're explaining an intervention or a treatment and you have full confidence in how it works realistically, not overselling something, I think that instills a lot of confidence in, with your patients, clients. And I think that's huge, no matter what you're doing, whether it's tape or, some other, treatment or, method that you're using.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your practice, as a chiropractor that, you and I both know as chiropractors, that could mean a lot of different things. So
sure.
What kind of practice do you run? What kind of clientele do you see?
Yeah, it's always transitioning. It's always changing. That's for sure.
Love that.
Even recently, we just moved into another location, within a CrossFit gym. And I do share that space with a physical therapist. I incorporate, a lot about what we talk about, corrective exercise, lots of manual therapies, with the blades and the cups and taping, movement, looking at the way people move. It's kind of concierge style, I would say. It's one-on-one, just me and the patient. We spend a lot of time together, which really helps us, navigate all the history and all that additional information that helps us, guides us. It's hands-on them and me from start to finish. And for me, it works. I love it. Patients seem to do really well with it. And I get a lot of positive feedback, and it's nice having a PT working next to a PT as well.
Yeah.
They obviously take a different approach, for some things, but 90% of what we do is very similar. So it's cool. And it's cool to have someone to bounce ideas off of and talk about clinical stuff that would probably bore our spouses or significant others. So that's really fun to have that camaraderie and teamwork. So it's good. That's how I work right now.
Unless you're married to another chiropractor like myself.
Well, yeah.
That is our dinner conversation.
And that could be just as good.
It's always nice to have, someone in there. I love the fact that you're multidisciplinary, and I'm sure it wasn't something you were set out to look for and find, it has to be a PT or anything like that. But, I love the word that you use because you kind of describe how I practice. It's very concierge, but one-on-one with that patient, really exclusive time with that patient. Is that something that you always wanted to do when you got out of practice or did you kind of move through a lot of that transitions that you were talking about before?
I won't say that I always wanted to do that. I think coming out of school, I was going with more of the traditional style and definitely worked with some chiropractors that were, doing different methods and techniques, but yeah, it was more traditional, quicker time with the patient and then other therapists or other treatments, and modalities on the side. But, I certainly, this is what I knew. I didn't like the fact that I felt like I didn't have enough time. I didn't like passing my patients off. I don't know if it's a control thing or what, but I just knew I needed more time with my patients. That's all I knew. I needed more time to spend with them. And I knew they wanted that, for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, financially speaking, you know, that's a whole nother challenge to figure out. Cause now you're spending a lot more time. You know, to be successful financially, you're going to have to figure out that model and probably charge a lot more. But, in my experience, there are plenty of people out there that value it and are very willing to pay that and work with you.
Yeah. Right in there though, is your best marketing, plan is word of mouth. Mm-hmm. They spend so much time with me. I got better. That's probably number one. I got better, spent a lot of time with me, addressed everything, and I feel great. You know, that like, hey, they're going to tell their friends that kind of stuff too. So that's a great, great tactic. How have you kind of, as you've transitioned into this model, how have you really worked a lot of the Rock Tape principles and products into your treatment method? You know, you said about tape that you use it on quite a lot of your patients. So how are you kind of helping build your practice with a lot of the Rock Tape stuff?
Helping build my practice? I mean, I guess I have two answers for you. One is, it's very easy to incorporate what we do because we have so many, you know, unique tools and effective tools. You know, I think from a marketing perspective, the tape is very visual. It's in plain sight when they leave. It's a conversation starter. Hey, who's taping you? You know, that's easy. And the same thing, honestly, with the cups too, it's a conversation starter with a lot of patients. And maybe there's even a benefit to that. Again, talking about, for them, talking about their injury, talking about their pain, talking about, you know, maybe talking that out actually helps them to some degree. But, you know, as a marketing perspective, tape is amazing because it creates an immediate response. And I always say this in all my courses, whether they're pods or floss courses, you know, from a marketing perspective, going out to an event or something where instead of bringing the posture screening and the tables and this and that, and then working through this, you know, a workup to treat somebody or spending 30 minutes doing a manual therapy, you know, to tape someone, it's very quick. And it creates a neurologic change that could be reduction in pain or changing the way they move. And it gives you an immediate feedback. And because of that, I think it's a great time at that point to, you know, start the conversation and you know, market yourself and the rest of what you do. So it's quick. It makes an immediate response. It's inexpensive as a tool. You can see a lot of people very quickly taping them and creating, you know, giving them amazing benefits. And touching more people, speaking to more people. So as a marketing tool, I just tend to go out with tape now, you know, and they're safe. There's very low risk at it too. So it's an amazing marketing tool. So I guess I use it in my practice in that way. And also when I go out to the public and new events and, you know, I really want to showcase what I do and just talk to a lot of people. I think tape is, it's powerful that way. Yeah.
Are you going to a lot of events offsite?
I don't do so many anymore. But in the beginning, yes, it was, you know, I would take anything. A lot of athletic type events, triathlons for sure. I mean, by my bio and by where I work in a CrossFit, you would think I'm really heavy into the CrossFit community. I like diversity. So paddleboard events, Special Olympics, you know, golfing tournaments, tennis. We have pickleball here in Florida, in Naples. It's one of the fastest.
I love pickleball.
Oh, it's amazing, right?
I haven't done it since high school, but it was so much fun.
Oh my God. It's the fastest growing sport.
Explain pickleball if nobody knows what it is.
It's like using a wiffer ball, racket and wiffer ball. It's like standing on your ping pong table is how I like to describe it.
That's a great way to describe it.
You know, it's like it's a shrunken down tennis court and it feels like you're standing on your ping pong table. And the beauty of pickleball is that anyone can just start it, a kid, an adult, and it equals out the skill levels pretty quickly. Like a novice can play with someone who's pretty advanced and they're not going to look like their skills are so far apart. So it makes it fun.
Yeah.
It levels it out a bit. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I haven't heard about pickleball in forever, man. That's awesome.
Oh, it's hot down here. We have pickleball courts in our neighborhood. So
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool. You're a big wakeboarder, right? Like you yourself.
Paddleboarder.
Yeah. So, I'm so always interested in unique, sports, meaning that not everybody does them. They're not as well known, different sports. You don't see them on ESPN necessarily. What are the little different nuances of paddleboarding that you like? If you see a paddleboarder, what kind of injuries might you see? What sort of like biomechanics do you really need to know? And how can you use some of the tools like tape or blades to really kind of help someone who's paddleboarder or paddleboard better?
Yeah, that's a cool sport. So, paddleboarding. Let's see here. It's interesting. The thing about paddleboarding is one, it's, you don't ever feel like you're exercising. You only feel like you're having fun, really, unless you're racing, nice. Maybe then you're getting into a grind. you know, like all other sports, it requires all planes of motion, you know, where there's a large rotational component. It's like, it's rowing essentially, but you're standing up. So a lot of rotation in that transverse plane. The injuries are shoulders quite a bit. There's a lot of forces on the shoulder, and the low back, because you are tend to be leaning forward quite a bit. And again, this might be similar to like rowing or, kayaking, things like that, where, you know, you are leaning forward. The benefit to paddleboarding is you're not sitting, so you're not getting so much low back compression. You can bend your knees and absorb more. But yeah, that's it. Shoulder for sure. Impingement,
okay.
Potentially. Low back, just from constantly leaning forward all day, you know, depending on how long your race is.
Is it kind of like a speed component with paddleboarding? Like, are there crashes, for lack of a better term, where you get like impact injuries in the water?
I don't know if there's so much impact injuries that way. A lot of repetitive use. But you can have sprint races that could be quarter mile or a mile, 3 miles, and you can have races that extend out to, you know, 20, 30 and, you know, further. I mean, I did a paddleboard race that was a 70-mile paddleboard from Bimini, Bahamas, back to the coast of Florida across the Gulf Stream. That was 70 miles, you know, across the ocean. And that's, you know, people do crazy stuff like that. So
how do you do, like, I get the physical side of doing that.
Yeah.
Are you like, do you have someone next to you with supplies and or emergency? Yeah. You're going from the Bahamas all the way back to the coast. That's insane.
For that race in particular, and if I can shout out to that race, because it is coming up again. It's called Crossing for the Cure. So it's to raise money for cystic fibrosis. Awesome. And you do have to have support boats. It's a very safe race. It's very well organized. So you have a support boat going next to you the whole way. They carry some of your food, water, and supplies. They can always pull you. It's supported by the lifeguard, by the Coast Guard. They're very aware of the race. So, have that support boat. They'll throw a sandwich at you or a bar at you if you want to just keep going, you know. But people do things like camelbacks, like you would like in a mountain bike. They'll have like camelbacks on, cup holders on the paddleboard. You know, a lot of those energy cubes, like you'll see in endurance race. That becomes like an endurance race, just with a different vehicle, different vehicle.
That's amazing. That is so cool. I mean, you said it too, like you don't feel like you're working out. You're just trying to accomplish a task. Like that's so cool. It's like, I'm just going to paddle board for a certain distance. And you know, that's your exercise. Like you never truly need to go and do like weightlifting, because you can get a lot of it from task oriented stuff like that. That's just a perfect event for it.
I think too, I mean, who doesn't enjoy being on the water, right? Like you're on the water, you're looking at birds and fish and turtles and dolphins. Like it's not work, right? You're enjoying the scenery, you're outside, and we know all the benefits of just being outdoors and, you know, using that big peripheral vision and, you know, just kind of constantly, you get in the flow state, because you're trying to balance, right? Like constantly trying to balance will keep your attention really quickly. You're not thinking about much else. So, there's a huge balance component involved there, which I know you're very much into balance and vestibular and, you know, you're doing a lot of that the entire time, which is really cool.
for paddleboarding, is that trainable, or is that something that's like, you got to get out on the water? You got to be able to do that. You can't just do single like balance on the land to really get what you need to do the paddleboarding effectively.
No, it's a skill for sure. Yeah. I mean, if you've got great balance, obviously that's going to help, but, it's a big skill. It's fun to watch people. I always, when I go to the beach, I'll say, hey, I'll just paddleboard. People say, oh, that looks cool. And I just jump off. Hey, you try. And I'll just let them on board. And it's always a blast because they're playful again. They're having fun. And you know, they're wiping out, and I've done this with, 70-year-olds, and I've done this with little kids, and just a blast. Yeah. It's a total blast.
That just goes to your personality though, too, Danny. People are drawn to you, and you can pull them in and say, hey, try this out. And then they wipe out and they're not mad at you for it or anything.
No, of course not. Yeah. I haven't been sued yet. So
that's good. No waivers that you have to keep in a waterproof bag.
Right.
So do you have any like go-to tape applications that you use for paddleboarding, either on yourself or
absolutely. I use a lot of that oblique sling, the functional performance chains, connecting that opposite shoulder to the opposite hip, front and back, because it's just, you're just constantly, it's like cross crawl patterning. So it's like a rolling pattern. You're just going back and forth, side to side, just like swimming and running. So I use that oblique sling quite a bit. And I connect that shoulder into, that opposite hip too, for that pull and that drive. That's a big one that I use. The other one that's probably used the most is just, kind of like a postural. So straight up and down the paraspinals, just for that postural support, again, because they're just leaning forward the whole time. Something I also use for my triathletes, for that aero bar position in the bike, bilateral paraspinal, posterior chain or performance back line, as we call it, just to help support them, cue them to stay more upright and delay that fatigue and maybe offset some pain.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I'm always curious too, because I've known you for a few years, and I've never asked you the question, but your practice is named XOC. Does that stand for anything?
It does, actually. XOC is a word. It's the Mayan word for shark, and so the Mayans pronounced.
Cool.
Can you hear me there, John?
No, say it one more time. Yeah, cut out a little bit.
Yeah. XOC is the Mayan word for shark. It's pronounced shock.
Shock?
I didn't want to call my practice Shark Chiropractic because I thought that just sounded a little bit. maybe gave the wrong idea. So I found the Mayan word is XOC, pronounced shock. And my analogy for people is that, we should be like sharks. Sharks have to continually swim to survive or continually move. So I say, we need to continually move. And it started very mechanical, and I would always tell, we got to move. And then it really just turned into move in every way, mentally, physically, emotionally. We are constantly need to be moving, hopefully moving forward. So that's my analogy for my patients. It's cool conversation starter too. And then people do ask me about what it means. It does have some meaning.
Do you go ahead and pronounce it XOC for most people?
Or I just say XOC. I don't explain it unless they ask. And that's usually some of my patients have been sticking around a little long, and they start to wonder what that stands for. And again, it's a cool conversation starter. So, and it adds a little depth, obviously, to the meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you kind of alluded to it there. And one thing I wanted to bring up too, because you're credited with something that we have in, I think all of our decks right towards the end. And it's something that I love, this quote, the more you feel, the better you move, the more you feel. Where'd you get that? Is that just kind of coming off of your thought process? Cause you kind of mentioned it just there a little bit. Is that something you heard, or did you kind of piece that together? Cause I love that.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it had something to do. It kind of sounds like the, remember the kids rhyme, the beans, the magical fruit, the more you eat, the more you, I think I was
say it like that. Yeah.
I think I was playing with my daughter and, I don't know. I think somebody came out of it somehow. you know, kids are always stimulating your mind, you know, sometimes in good ways.
Oh yeah.
So, but yeah, no, I don't know. It's just that cycle. We're always talking about breaking those cycles. You know, if you're in pain, you're not moving well. And then because you're not moving well, you're probably, you know, probably causing some other dysfunction and then you're stuck in that vicious cycle. So yeah. If we can spin that around, you know, we break that cycle and feel better. You move more and you just keep going in that direction. So
that's kind of how I always interpreted it, because we put it at the end of the presentation. And what have we been talking about like the whole day? It's like we're trying to improve sensory information so people can move better.
Right.
So, but the way you say it is so perfect, because like we can improve sensory information and get you to move better. But if you don't continue to move better, you're actually going to see the sensory aspect start to dampen and become dysfunctional once again. So it's just like such an elegant statement to kind of describe to everybody that neurological approach, but also it makes a lot more sense when you say it that way, rather than talking about sensory motor input, output, stuff like that.
Yeah. And also by the end of those courses, we've hammered that into them so many times.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys get this part right? yeah, for sure. And that is a theme. That is our theme as we went with the Instructor Summit, right? That's one of our main core principles, is that we're always talking about that, you know, the sensory system, and that we're trying to influence that, enhance that, you know, to reduce pain, to improve the way you move. You know, yeah, just because we spent some time with you, you know, your brain is a bit more, areas of the brain are more active and more connected to those body parts and those movements. You know, now we have to train those movements to lock that in, to create that neuroplasticity that we talk about. So we have to go through those repetitious cycles in order to learn and keep that. So that takes work, and, you know, you have to be consistent to continue to move and keep it in practice. Nothing stays with you unless you can, that old adage of if you don't use it, you lose it. I mean, that is just, that is everything. Yeah. It goes for everything.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you are working with people, I'm always interested to know about like different motivational tactics to get someone to kind of reinforce their movement. I've gotten you better. You got that sensory information. You know, now where you're moving better, but how do you kind of reinforce that? You're in a warm weather climate. You're in an area where I don't know for sure, but the population is hopefully a little bit more active, taking advantage of the weather. You know, you're talking about being on the water, paddle boarding. Like, what kind of motivation do you provide with your patients, and help do you provide them to get them to kind of get more into that active lifestyle?
So that is probably one of the hardest things that we do as, you know, clinicians, practitioners of any kind, is how do you get people, if you want it more than they do, that's a very difficult, you know, situation to be in, to get somebody well. I'm lucky because I'm in a place where people are active and it's warm weather. Yes. And, you know, and I do attract people that are already wanting to be active and stay healthy, just because of the style that I practice. So it does, but that doesn't, you know, I get this all the time. People don't want to do the work. They want to, you know, they want to come in. They want it to be a little bit more passive sometimes. I think the answer is you have to keep talking with them until they divulge the real reason why they're there. You've got to dig a little, and find out what is their why? Like, why are they doing this? You know, what is important to them? And it's tough. I mean, and it helps when they come to it on their own. So I like to, ask more questions than give answers, so that they can maybe come to a realization on their own. And that's it. I just keep talking to them. I'm trying to figure out what's their why. Some people are very clear. They know, you know, they come in, they already know, they're motivated, but the ones that aren't, I'm just trying to figure it out for them. And, and give them small doses, right? So not asking them to go home and do, you know, an hour of anything. I'll say, hey, listen, for today, just go home and do 5 minutes, do 2 minutes, you know, or just go set it up in the, I don't know where I heard this. Go set up the space. Don't even do it yet. Just go set up the space in your house where you're going to do this. That's your task for today, you know? And then if they come back, oh yeah, I set up that space, it's ready to go. All right. Well, now the next thing is, you know, go get the equipment, you know, put it in there. Well, do you want me to do it yet? No, don't just get it ready, you know? And then the next time it's, hey, just give me 1 minute, just give me a minute of it. And then two minutes of it, and just build it up from there, you know? Create that stamina and that desire. I don't know. Yeah. It's tricky. It's a hard one. Yeah.
It's really tricky. I've used tricks like that too. You know, when I've trained people with like kettlebell training, stuff like that, and like, oh, I just can't find the time. Like, find a door that you walk by a lot during the day, put a kettlebell next to it. Every time you pass that, you have to do so many sets.
For sure.
Many people like, I want to get better at pull-ups. What do I need to do? I'm like, do pull-ups. So every time you walk by a pull-up bar, do one pull-up, and then you'll get better at it. You know, that's so great from a clinician perspective, because compliance is probably the hardest thing.
Yeah.
So when you go back to the better you feel, the more you move, that's great, because we take care of that clinically. But if you feel better now and you stop moving, you're going to get back to where you didn't feel good.
For sure.
So you're absolutely right. It's one of the hardest things that we can do. Or try to do as a clinician, because everybody has an excuse, I guess you could say too, right?
Yeah. Well, it's hard. It's hard, man. We, like you said, we're busy. We have lives. We have other things, other priorities.
Sure.
Can I share a personal story that it might be,
absolutely.
It might be TMI. God rest.
We love that here.
I love it. Yeah. God rest her soul. My grandmother, when we were kids, we used to see this sign above her toilet paper roll. Okay. And yeah, I know you're intrigued. I know. And the sign read Kegel.
Okay.
So we'd always be at our grandmother's house, and we would see this sign, and we'd say, Kegel, grandma, what's Kegel? You know, and I'm pretty sure she didn't tell us. But the point of the story is that, she had a reminder above her, toilet paper roll to do her Kegel exercises, because it was in her face, and it was in a place that maybe, you know, I don't know where Kegel exercises, where people choose to do those, but, maybe it was right there. So to make this a little more relatable, I used this with a patient. With patients to do scar treatments, if they're doing some self-manipulation, or a lot of like short foot exercises and toe exercises. I say, listen, are you going to the bathroom? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, well, how many times do you go a day? 2, 3, whatever it is. I say, okay, well, when you're in the bathroom and you're sitting there on the toilet, let's get a couple reps in. Like you're there. Okay. Let's kill two birds with one stone. Let's do some stuff, you know? I honestly like to bring people out of their shells too. I kind of like to make people uncomfortable, by just talking about stuff that maybe other people won't, or their doctors won't, you know, and just make them make it human again. You know, I mean, come on, we're all in this fluid filled sack with a brain and a spinal cord. And, you know, if we can just be relatable and be, you know, human with them, it opens a lot of doors, I think. And gives you a lot of opportunities to make small recommendations and have fun, right? Make light of
it. Seriously. You know? Yeah. Make it fun. I say this all the time when we talk about gamification, and we talk about, play. We talk about it a lot probably in our Blades course more than anything, but like, why do kids only get to play? Like, adults need to play too. It's really good for our brains. So like, let's play as adults. Let's make a game out of it. Because then, just like you were saying with paddleboarding, it's like, you don't feel like you're exercising. You feel like you're paddleboarding. If it doesn't feel like your therapy. It's a game, you know, make it fun. I love that. That's perfect.
Absolutely. Yeah. Pick up your clothes with your feet is one of my favorite, you know, because
I love that trick.
You take your clothes, you know, you're taking your clothes off every day. You're taking a shower, put them in the hamper with your feet, you know, have some fun. Open door handles with your toes, like, you know, just play, crawl around your house a little bit, roll around the floor, play with your kids that way. You have to make health and movement and, you know, a lifestyle. It's not, you know, something that you do every day. It's just part of your life. I mean, it's gotta be part of your life. And then it becomes easy, you know, it's just habitual. I think it's really helpful. If I can encourage people to do anything that way, it's, you know, make movement, just make your health a priority and make it part of your daily life. Don't make it work. Don't make it an hour of the day. You got to go do it. Like, just everything. There's so many opportunities throughout your day to play and move in a different way. I run up and down my hallway every day. Like, if I've got to go to my bedroom, I run there just to do it. Like, why not? Who says we have to walk everywhere, you know, within our own home? Yeah. Jump, take two stairs at a time. Have you ever heard that saying? I can judge a man by what he takes two at a time, stairs or pills.
I have not heard that.
Have you not? You know, I saw it a long time ago and it stays with me. You know, you can judge a person, a man or a woman, by what they take two at a time, pills or stairs. I love that. You know,
that's awesome.
That's for you, Joe Lavaca, going up the stairs when everyone's on the escalator.
That's another adage you could throw in there. I judge a man based on if he chooses the escalator or not too, right?
All day.
So let's get back to a couple of things that I think a lot of, students and new docs might have a lot of questions about is you were treating physician 2010 Central American Games. You've treated for CrossFit Games, CrossFit Southeast Regionals, and a lot of the different events. People always ask, you know, like, how do you get chosen for that kind of stuff? Do you know somebody? Do they call you? How does that work? Like, how'd you get into working with those groups?
I think it's all those things. One, you have to make yourself available and you have to search these people out. You know, I mean, a lot of times like Wadapalooza and that event, that CrossFit event was recently, I believe, sold to the owner Guido Trinidad. I did their very first athlete services tent, which was literally a tent in the grass with me and one other provider. And it's because I reached out to them and I said, hey, you know, do you have this? Do you need this? Do you want this? Can I help you with it? You know? And the answer was yes. And that's it. Right. So you got to start by asking around and that was an event that didn't exist yet, but for the ones that do, you gotta find out who's running them. You got to reach out, on our website, the Rock Tape website. I believe we have a page, for events, right? That where you can actually search for events and, find out what's happening in your area or just nationally. And then you can, volunteer your services. And that's another thing. You might have to start out volunteering, right? Like, you don't look for some sort of paid thing. You might just have to volunteer just to get some exposure, have some fun. That could always develop into other things. But, you know, when people say, oh, you did CrossFit Games, like, yeah, well, first of all, I volunteered. I paid my own way. And I
called them.
I worked like crazy to get that position. And then the second time around, it's a lot easier because you've already got the experience and that snowballs to other events and you build your little resume as events that you've done outside of your clinics and your practices. That's it. But you gotta just, socialize.
Just go out and talk to people. I mean, that question comes up so much. It's like, how can I get more involved? How can I get more involved?
Yeah.
Pick up your computer, your phone, whatever, and just go seek them out. You know, it doesn't hurt to send an email. If they don't respond to you, they don't respond to you, you know?
Yeah, follow up. Follow up. Do a couple, you know? People want to see that you're interested. But I want to make sure people do know that we do have that for Rock Tape now. So we have that portal, I think, or that ability to go to Rock Tape and find these events for you. And then Rock Tape supplies a lot of, provides the supplies in a lot of cases, you know, most cases, which is another benefit because you get to, you know, use up all the tape and the tools and you get to, you know, practice, you know, maybe, you know, a lot of reps because you're going to mm-hmm. do, you know, 100 low backs in one day. So it's a great to get some experience too. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's a great point. Experience too. You know, it gets you out of the stuffy clinical setting. And, you know, from, I just know our chiropractic interns at my school, you know, they're have to dress very nice. Guys wear ties, white coat. This gets you out of all of that, gets you out of the clinic, gets you working with, you know, that athletic population. Yeah. Lets you dress a little bit more comfortably and you get those reps in, just like you said.
Oh my God, with the dress code already.
Was your school like that too when you were in?
Of course. Yeah, of course. You know, you're wearing a long sleeve shirt and a tie. And then, you know, depending on how you practice, you're crawling all over people and you're doing manual therapy and you're doing the exercises with them. It's like, I'm sweating like crazy over here. Hold on.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, we're telling our patients to come in wearing athletic clothing and stuff they can move in. Yeah. And I'm stuck in this. No. I'm going to do this with you. Come on. You know?
Yeah. A tie is the worst thing for a manual practitioner to be wearing. It's terrible.
Well, listen, I get it. You want to be professional, but that doesn't mean got it. Your shirt and tie. And the doctor I started out with, you know, he still is and very much was like, you know, this is how we got to dress because this is the image we want to create. I'm like, it's not an image for me. This is real. So, you know, I'm going to do what works and it's still going to be professional. And I've never had one complaint ever that somebody said, you know, hey, by the way, doc, I'm sorry, but your attire today is a little bit casual and I don't feel confident in what you're telling me today, you know? So.
you got me better, but I'm really just, I don't like your attire. I don't like your dress code.
You know, I'm not convinced yet.
I feel great.
Although my back pain is totally resolved in three visits. I'm not convinced because, anyway, I don't want to make, you know, fun because I know a lot of people address it. It's fine. It's what works for you.
Oh, hey, if you can make it work, totally fine. But yeah, it has a lot to do with your personal philosophy, your practice philosophy, how you actually treat. You're absolutely right. Yeah. So we're teasing, not making fun.
We're also talking to the guy who has a mohawk and a huge beard. So, you know,
do you have a mohawk right now? Like this is going to be launched on audio, but I can actually see you right now. I didn't realize you had the mohawk going.
Yeah, we're always rocking the mohawk, faux hawk.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. I in my head, I'm always thinking that huge. You know.
Yeah. So, you know, you got to think about who you're speaking to as well, I guess. Yeah.
That's a good point. Right. So there's a question I've always wanted to ask you. I never had this confirmed, but it was like one of those things that I saw offhand. I was like, oh, interesting. We used to have like a tactical taping method kind of thing. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Were you the model for that?
No.
Was that you?
No.
That was not you.
Definitely not.
I swear someone told me that. It's like the guy with a pistol, you know, his thumbs were taped to help with, you know, shooting the pistol for like competitive shooters, stuff like that. And it looked just like you because they got the beard just like you. And I swear someone was like, oh yeah, that's Danny.
No, as cool as that is, no.
No? Myth busted.
I know Dr. Perry Nicholson did some teaching for Navy SEALs back in the day. And this is something I actually bring up in our performance course. You know, we always talk, we have some images up there with yoga and running and kicking. And I always get to the point where I'm like, okay, well, let's just talk about what are you guys seeing? What kind of athletes and movers are you seeing? And let's just get creative because now that we have this foundation of triplanar motion and we understand the fascial chains and what they control and how to tape them, you know, throw something at us. Let's see if we can figure it out. Right. And some of them will go, what about bow shooting? Here, is that correct? You know, bow and arrow hunting.
Yeah.
And we'll break that down. And because they've had some reps and they have the concepts down, they go, oh, I get it. You know, this is going to be a sagittal plane to stabilize. There's a rotational component, the transverse plane to create, you know, the drawback of the bow. And then, you know, you take these, less common sports and movements and just quickly they can break them down. And that's the beauty of our courses is that we lay down those conceptual, you know, that those concepts and conceptual backgrounds that I always tell people by the end of this course, you know, the goal for me is that any condition that presents itself any condition or any, you know, sport or movement pattern, you should be able to tape, tool, cup, floss, because you understand these concepts. And it's less important as to what sport they're doing or, you know, specifically what disease or condition they have. It's like, okay, well, you know, how can I apply these concepts? And that's my goal of every course, is to make sure that they know that they should have that open framework that we talk about to work within, and that they should never feel that they have to, you know, go back to, oh, what was the application for this, you know, musculoskeletal condition? That doesn't happen. And that's a beauty of the way we teach. Yeah.
It's so funny. First of all, I had the exact same thing when we talk about sports taping. I had a breakout, and a group in a couple of different seminars in my past were like, oh, we taped for bow hunting. I'm like, oh, wow, that's really, really cool. Yeah. I love that, because you're just applying the concepts, like you said, too. And, you know, I know I've talked to a few instructors about this, is that is also, while it's one of the best things that we do, it's also one of the things that some people get frustrated about as well too, because there are a lot of people, they're like, I want to know how to tape for this condition or that condition. But, you know, from what you were saying too, and I totally agree, is we are teaching those concepts so you can apply it to literally everything that comes around. So whether you're paddle boating, or you're dealing with bow hunting or pistol shooting, or if it's just someone who has a sedentary, you know, desk job, you can apply anything you need to it. That's a beautiful way to say it.
Yeah. And that's our job, right? In that course, is to maybe open people's minds a little bit to that. And then make them instill some confidence in them as to how they can approach these problems. You know, that's part of our job, and to maybe shift them a little bit away from that thinking. Not that it's a bad way to think, but, you know,
no, not at all. Yeah.
Usually by the end they're saying, okay, well actually, yeah, this does make sense. This is helpful that I understand this. And, you know, I can start to work through some of these problems with my patients.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. So is there anything you're up to right now that you want to promote, or tell us kind of what Danny's up to down in Naples?
No.
Anything coming up?
No, there's nothing, you know, personally that I'm, you know, promoting or teaching. You know, I'm teaching for Rock Tape, and I'm sure you'll ask me later. I've heard enough of these podcasts to know how this ends, John.
Where this is headed.
Because I listen to all your podcasts, every single one of them.
You're informative. The best, man.
They're great. They're informative. They're fun. You know, we travel a lot, so it's always nice to hear familiar voices out on the road. So I always look forward to the podcast, and I'm really honored to be on this one with you, and also just to have you as a colleague, man. You did a great job with this. You did a really good job.
I'm excited to have you, man. And knowing you, I've learned so much from everybody, especially you as well. You know, just year after year, being able to hang out with you guys for even just 4 days, you know, all the great stuff that we can hear from everybody when we get people up there demonstrating and talking about different parts of how we teach. One thing, actually, now that you mention it, would you like to tell everyone about the award that you won this year?
I don't want to, it's like PTSD, right? I don't want to talk about it again.
I don't want to bring back any bad memories, but, you know, I think it should be acknowledged because of what you fight through. And I think it describes the people kind of, you know, how our traveling lifestyle, you know,
I'll make it short and sweet.
Go for it.
In five years, I never missed a gig or, always there present, even though sometimes we don't feel great. Last year, I not totally confirmed, but 99% sure I was part of that E. coli breakout. And, I showed up, to a city, and then I never taught a course or left the hotel for 3.5 days. At one point, I really thought I was going to call an ambulance to come pick me up. And that's when I was telling my wife, like, what hotel I was in and what room I was in. I didn't feel well, to say the least. And, at one point they actually wheelchaired me through the airport. I thought that was interesting.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I was leaning on the counter so far onto the counter that the gate attendant said, can I get you a wheelchair? And
was this on the way in or like as you were leaving?
No, this is actually on the way in, which is the worst. Okay. So it was hitting me on the way in. I was actually coming from your area, from Chicago at the time. But
oh wow,
yeah, teaching at an Equinox there, and yeah. So so I didn't teach. The award that I won, I don't even know if it had a name. I think it was
nice worst travel experience.
Just worst travel experience.
Worst travel experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it also goes to show you too, like Allison, I know, was constantly calling the hotel and checking in on you. It just shows you the family mentality we really do have.
Yeah.
It's just like everybody was making sure you were okay and everything like that. It just goes to show you, everybody who's listening there, it will only take something like a bacterial infection or whatever E. coli is to keep us from teaching you this awesome stuff that we love to do.
Exactly.
I thought it was a perfect example to kind of illustrate that.
Hey, that's what it took to bring me down. So I'm, you know, I did my best on that one, but hey, Shreveport, I'm coming back for you this year. So actually, I'll be there. I'll be in Shreveport, which is the place that I was not able to teach. I'm going to be there, I think, next month. So I'll be back. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Tell us where you're going to be, you know, coming up recently. If anybody's interested in seeing Danny and, you know, talking about a lot of his specialties, where are you going to be?
I've got, I'm doing something with the American Chiropractic Association in Orlando. That's
cool.
That's actually February 28th through the 2nd, I believe. Teaching for Rock Tape Blades, March 16th and 17th in Independence, Missouri. March 30th, 31st, Blades again, Memphis, Tennessee. Looking forward to that one. April 6th and 7th. I wrote them down because there was a couple. April 6th and 7th, taping performance, Orlando, Florida, right in my backyard, really. July 20th and 21st, Pods and Flossing, Bradenton, Florida. And then I'm teaching something in Marietta, Georgia, which is going to be actually that's through PESI. And that's gonna be my first movement course, John. We didn't talk about that new movement course. It's definitely on the lowdown right now. But
what date is that?
September. So later in the year, September 26th and 27th.
So that is all the information we will provide.
I don't know if I was supposed to say that. Maybe that was just a slip.
I don't know. Just if it's scheduled, it's scheduled. So I think we can get past it. I can do some editing if I need to.
There you go. If you have to, you might have to take that out. Yeah.
We'll leave it in. Let's ask for forgiveness. Let's do
that. You go. I like it. Yeah.
Manny, where can everybody find you on social media?
Instagram, it's DD Porcelli DC, DD Porcelli DC, and like Facebook, XOC Chiropractic, and that's the same for my business and my website, XOC Chiropractic. I can be found there. Yeah. In the interim.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
Well, if anybody's looking to get a hold of Danny, ask him any more questions or take a course with him, check him out on social media. Check him out on rocktape.com, wherever he's teaching next. You know, we're always adding more and more dates. Not all the dates for the year are going to be up there. And Dan, thanks so much, man. That was a great conversation.
Thanks, John, man. Good to see you. Thanks for having me. And I know I will see you soon, bud.
Good to see you, buddy. See you soon.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
See you.